It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well, and we are into the first couple of weeks here of December, enjoying the holidays, but the holidays also bring loss and the feelings of loss, and you kind of wanted to touch on that subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, Daniel.
Yeah, it's interesting. The holidays are uniquely times of sometimes great joy and then and some sadness. I of course, in my work, I talk to a lot of people who present this, and this is a time of year, as we were speaking earlier, why is it that holidays, why is it that way that holidays kind of bring out sadness? And I think that I've always seen it as holidays bring people back together, sometimes bring families back together, and sometimes those families were dysfunctional. And so it's they're coming back together, but they, you know, all the individuals bring, you know,
their memories.
Some memories, and some of them aren't so good. Some are really good, and some of them aren't so good. And I was sharing a situation that happened over Thanksgiving where we had some of my wife's relatives, one sister, in fact, and husband were, you know, staying. And we were home one evening, and the rest of her family's on the East Coast, and so they were talking about games the kids used to play as children, and it actually wound up being a text thing back and forth between our home and the folks on the East Coast that had a huge, like 30-some people at their Thanksgiving thing, and all about the family and the games they used to play, and in the course of that, there's a lot of laughing and, you know, but then in the course of that, my wife began to remember that she was really a child in that family because of where she was positioned, kind of at the tail end. And then there was an accidental baby a little bit later, and she sort of got in the position where she was an outcast by her siblings and outcast by her mother had moved on to another child. And
so brought up all those memories.
It actually brought tears, you know, her talking about. So even as families come back together, each individual has a different story. And so there are lots of different kinds of loss. And we're going to talk about some other kinds of loss because the first thing I want to kind of get people to focus on before we go on and talk about, you know, what to do about this kind of thing is just to recognize that we are gathering together in different groups, different ways, for different reasons at this time of year. And invariably, almost in every family situation or gathering, there are going to be individuals in that are going through times of loss, whether it be divorce or just growing up or change. And we've talked about some of these, and we can talk about some of these again.
Well, first of all, you think of the loss of loved ones. Mom or dad are gone now, maybe a child, you know, and they're not there anymore happy time in the past.
Yeah, and I had a person that I had known that whose mother actually disappeared around this time of a year, and they had never found the person. You know, now it's been years, but yet it's not the same, you know, getting together, because this was a person who was kind of the center of,
and they just disappeared.
Yeah,
so just a missing person never was solved.
Never was solved, and
closure.
And very difficult to have any kind of closure. And so the family getting together, you know, it's a time that. Hopefully it brings some joy, but also there's, some sorrow. So there's those kinds of loss, people in the military that, you know, have died for the...
We say this time of year, even growing up, we have these childhood memories, and the first loss is like the loss of maybe some innocence and belief in Santa.
Yeah,
and you were saying
I had
your own kid figured it out, and then you guys got in trouble because she's trying to tell the rest of the neighborhood.
I think sometimes that parents don't... You know, loss is constant in our lives, and I think that kids are going through little times of loss in their small lives, and I think sometimes that parents, like, expect, you know, we want our kids to be happy, you know, on Christmas, and but they're going through some things. So, I shared the story about how I think our daughter was, she couldn't have been much more than four. I just kind of remember her in her little, bib overalls and things standing out in the yard and looking up at the roof. And it was probably in the fall time. It was getting about that. It might have been October or November somewhere. And I was working outside. I remember it was kind of a nice day for that time. And she was looking up at the roof, and I saw the wheels turning. If you know, if parents get to know their kids, and you know, you're thinking ahead of them.
She's
and
for looking some at reason, thin
she's looking at that
stack.
Little tiny 9-inch chimney stack. And so she said, I knew it was coming. She said, is there really a Santa Claus? And I asked her, well, how do you think your presents get here? And she thought, she said, I think it, you and Mom are bringing them. Well, why? Because Santa couldn't get down that little,
chimney.
And then she went and told the neighbors that she'd figured that out, and they called us. They were very upset that our daughter had ruined Christmas for their kids.
But then that sets up that kind of that skepticism at a young age, and then they translate that to the real Christmas
story.
They can. And
yeah,
this is the time of year people a lot of times have problems with their faith.
They do, yeah. Because it brings up the virgin birth, and for even a lot of Christians, that's like, you know, really? So they have some doubts there. There are... so many things around faith that have been difficult. You know, you can show up at a family gathering, and so and so is gay this year, or somebody else is joined another faith, or backslidden, or something.
Change is what causes a lot of feelings of loss.
It breaks up social connections. It breaks up friendships. We've talked about, you know, young people and their youthful innocence, and I don't mean morally, but like my daughter, you know, realizing, well, there's no Santa. And then there was another period of time where we moved into a new neighborhood and left her friends and her community behind, and she was just coming out of the doll stage and going into some other stage, and we were really having trouble figuring out what that was. Is she going to want skis now or ice skates or what? You know, because we were sort of stumped, and came into the living room. It was a few weeks before Christmas, but the tree was up and there was some gifts wrapped there. And I noticed that she was just sitting on the couch crying quietly. And I sat down. It was really a moving moment. I sat down and I was asking her, because she wasn't like that. And I asked her, you know, what was going on? And she, after a period of just quiet, she said, Christmas isn't going to be the same. Mm. And we talked about that a bit. But, you know, it kind of it struck a chord with me that these kids, even as young as they are going through change. And just because Christmas time, it brings a lot of joy, it also, in a lot of ways, brings sorrow for a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of different reasons. And so what do we do about that?
What do we do? Well, we'll talk about that here in the second part of the program. I wanted to get back to one of the main things I would think, as I think of, you know, the blues around Christmas, it always is reminiscing about the way things used to be in the family and the parents getting divorced. My parents got divorced. I would think that divorce and the breakup of what you at least at one time thought was a relatively happy family, now you realize it wasn't, or it certainly isn't now. Isn't that one of the main reasons for loss and the blues this time of year?
Yeah, and it just seems to be almost like a harbinger of things to come. People, you know, when those family institutions are broken, and this is not to, our purpose of the show isn't to bring shame and guilt on families, because there are different reasons for divorce and separation and loss. And those, but yeah, when that institution is broken, it's certainly a game changer, and. You know, young, you know, kids caught in that, and the adults too. And their world has come apart, and this is and there's something about healing from loss that again, we, as you brought out before the show, these holiday seasons are time markers, and I tell a lot of people will say, how long does it take to grieve a certain thing? Well, it's going to take some years, and this is why. Precisely because you have to go through some of these markers so that you look back on a year before and say, okay, it wasn't that bad that last year. But those first few years of
going
loss,
through the Christmas season.
Yeah, you have to have some good ones, or you're not going to feel good about those. So those anniversaries, and we treat them like anniversaries of loss. It's an anniversary of the birth of Christ, but it's also the anniversary of the loss of something. So,
well, some of the ways people react to this loss, perhaps addictions increase this time of year, more drinking than normal. maybe they break up their current relationship. Mm-hmm. They're so bummed out about their previous mm-hmm. marriage or their previous family. Another one that's a real tragic response to this is suicide. Suicide really increases this time of year.
Yeah, it does, and quite possibly because, you know, we're brought back together either to memories of things or contemplating things that we never had. It is a time when I think, you know, if we recognize our loss against the backdrop of all this surface joy. And so it's going to be accentuated by that. And so a lot of times it's this time of year where people are almost forced to focus on their loss and the tragedy mm-hmm. in their life when they're surrounded by, you know, joy and optimism. And
so what's going on there with a person who considers and then carries through on a suicide this time of year? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to make everybody around them have a tremendously mm-hmm. hard future get-togethers when they think, well, this is when my Uncle Harry killed himself this yeah. time of year. What's going through in a person's mind when they, I mean, obviously there's an illness and a deep despair going on in a person's mm-hmm. mind, but what kind of aftermath from a suicide, particularly this time of year?
Aftermath for those that are left
behind. Yeah. Yeah. Just a terrible destructive.
Yeah. And, of course, if anybody's, has ever been there or close to it and just some of the stuff just, it seems obvious that, everybody wondering, you know, could I have played a role could I have brought hope to this person? You know, how much of that was my fault? How much, what could I have done about it? Those kinds of questions. And just not being able to, if you've never been there, or you've never been tempted in that way, or you've never seriously been contemplating that, it's hard to understand the person's frame of mind that would lead them to the conclusion that that's the only option. Mm. It just seems like such a drastic, and we all probably all know people who have committed suicide, mm-hmm. and some good Christian people.
So what would you tell the people left behind? Maybe this happened in the family at this time of year or recently. How would you tell them to cope with this in the aftermath of a suicide?
Well, I wasn't planning on saying this, Mark, but I'm on radio, so I'm going to say suicide is not the unforgivable sin. So if you're thinking that way, you're thinking wrong. There's only one unforgivable sin, and that has to do with not accepting Christ. Right. Everything, you know, if a person
So don't
is,
be bummed out about that while they've gone straight to hell because of that.
If a person is so broken, I would ask the parents, think of your children. If your child came to you and was so broken that they didn't want to go on, would you say, okay, then get out of here? Or would you, right. you know, if a person is so broken in life that they just can't face anymore, I think the last thing the loving God is going to do is punish them eternally. That is not the unforgivable sin. So don't think that way. If you know somebody thinking
that
way, correct them.
Right away. So that'll cheer some people, religious folks.
Yeah. They're, you know, people who have committed suicide are in the arms of God. And I personally believe that nobody goes to hell that doesn't absolutely want to insist on being there.
That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah, that's a whole separate issue. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, well, I don't know if he was a Christian or not. Well, let God take care of that. You know, God's not willing that any should perish.
So don't worry about where their relationship with God was. But for us, how do we move on? How do we put that in context?
And I think that's part of moving on. And then the other part is, you know, to kind of the worst thing we can do is kind of get in the frame of mind where we're, you know, I'm kind of immobilized by the thought of that, and I forget to live outward toward other people. That's what we need to be doing at this time of year, you know, living out toward other people. And this, you know, what I say to even people who have the loss and feel the loss, that, you know, ministering to other people out of your need is really a key to joy. And recognizing that there's loss in every household, some kind of loss in every household, but we don't have to dwell on that, and we, you know,
takes time to heal. Time to heal from any kind of loss.
Let's concentrate on the living.
And how you're gonna work through loss and those feelings of grief. We'll talk about that in our second half of the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel, if people need some help dealing with loss, maybe they are feeling some holiday blues and they need some perspective, how did they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 425-778-6169. And they can also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And all of the shows are podcast there at BibleBasedCounselor.com. We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well, and this week looking at loss and kind of the holiday blues. How do you get through them? Talking about some examples of things that maybe contribute to loss this time of year. Daniel, you wanted to start giving us some ideas on how to deal with this. First of all, for the person who's going through loss.
Yeah, and if people just tuned in, this is meant to be a bummer.
Contribute to the grief.
We're actually talking about just kind of facing up to the issue that in every happy household there are stories of loss and disappointment, and this time of the year just kind of brings it out because it's against the backdrop of all the joy and optimism and hope that a lot of times we see our pain more clearly.
Yes.
And so it's there, and we just don't want to. And part of this is just so I want to talk to the people who have experienced directly the pain. So you're the person that's been hurt. You're the person. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of quality of life or loss of opportunities or just loss of youth. Or, you know, I've got, say a person that had a really hard row to hoe in some ways, and so maybe they've got off into addiction of some sort, and so maybe they're trying to recover, or they've recovered and they come back and they're just kind of faced with all the life that they lost during the process of that. That can be one thing. So you're this person with a loss, and maybe you've been invited back to the family and you're kind of trying to decide whether you're going to go or you want to just stay by yourself during the holidays. The first thing I would remind you is that God is not outside of your pain looking in. God is in your pain holding you. I think we get this erroneous idea that God doesn't suffer. I've always had trouble with that because if God was safely outside of suffering, how could he have asked his son to die, for one thing? If God was safely outside of suffering, how could he say to us, you know, that if you endure, you know, et cetera, and those kinds of so many scriptures about, you know, enduring, you know, take up your cross and follow me and endure to the end. And how could God demand that if he's somewhere safely away from the action? So I believe in the God that suffers. I believe a God that loves intimately must also suffer intimately. And so I think that God is the one who suffers the most beyond what we can even imagine. He's suffering, and he's in our suffering. He's not outside looking through the window, you know, cheering us on from a comfortable place. So God is fellowshipping you in your suffering. He's walking with you in the suffering. You're not alone in that. He understands that. He understands the pain a lot more than you will ever understand the pain. So that's kind of the starting point. Second one is, don't let your world grow smaller. It's a challenge, but you know our world is just going to keep getting smaller. We're going to become more isolated. Next holiday is going to be more difficult for a lot of people if we don't get out and try to make change now. So we're always pushing outward toward relationship,
And maybe try even harder this time of year for that to really make connection.
It's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It provides an opportunity to do that. You know, there is a time to be alone, but we should never be lonely. And the holidays present a lot of times a most healthy challenge, really, to do our best at growing our world. So instead of being overcome by my grief. I need to kind of get out there and as much as I can, try focusing on pleasing other people and ministering
to
other people.
That'll heal your own grief, your own loss.
It will, you know. Mm-hmm. You're still going to feel the pain of your loss. And you may even feel after the holiday, after you've been to an event like that and come back, you may even feel emotionally exhausted because, you know, you feel like I didn't take care of myself. I took care of other people. It's a step forward. It's a step of growth that's not maybe the most pleasant. But in time, it pays off. And the alternative is not good. It's to let your world get smaller and to become more recluse. So, another one is, you know, try to serve, as I said, out of your own need. Age old secret to joy. You know, if you're in pain, reach out. And as I said before, it may not make you feel better immediately, but it'll keep you from getting worse. Because a lot of times in our pain is when we realize that life isn't about me and there's always somebody that's hurting more.
So, and that's what you mean, this idea of, don't let your world become smaller, because mm-hmm. you've diagrammed that a lot of times on some yeah. of your concentric circles too. Yeah. Like the mm-hmm. smallest life is totally focused on yourself, and mm-hmm. that's the most destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So looking out
yeah.
and
yeah, addictions are mm-hmm. are at home there in that isolated frame of mind. The last one that I have here is to, you know, you don't have to be on stage in your pain. That is, you don't have to be a spectacle. If you're going to someone's house or you're meeting with the family or you're going to a church event and you just feel empty, emotionally empty because you're feeling the loss, you don't have to go there and be a spectacle. You don't.
Now, what do you mean by that?
You
have to make a scene or something? Or
People
sometimes see this cathartic to...
Yeah,
make a big public scene about how bummed out they are.
I think
that's going to help them. It doesn't really.
No. What I mean by being on stage, and maybe I picture this more in a family setting where, you know, I'm going in. It's going to be around a family or a church family, and people know I've had this loss, and so I've got to go and assure other people that I'm okay.
Oh,
you know,
I've got
to go
okay.
make the rounds and tell everybody I'm okay. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't have to take the responsibility of thinking, okay, if I don't go around and tell everybody I'm okay, they're going to worry about me. We don't have to be on the stage in the pain. Just don't isolate in your pain.
Mm.
If you try to make it about other people, God will take care of you.
Okay.
That's what I want to say.
Well, on to that. So that's if you're struggling. Now, some tips for when we see family members struggling.
Yeah.
How would they help somebody?
Yeah. And so every Thanksgiving, I'm sure a lot of families go through this, where this is kind of like we've got a family where we've got different members in different parts of the Great Northwest. And so in large families, sometimes there's a situation arises where, making sure that all the family members had some place to go. Or in a church setting, it might be making sure that all the church members had a place to go. And taking care of everybody, making sure. And so... sometimes that can bring out feelings on the part of the third party. The pain isn't mine. But I know of somebody that's hurting, and I don't quite know. You know, would it be best just not to invite Sue? Maybe she'd feel better. You know, because she's been through this pain, and we don't want to kind of take her. You know, put her in a situation where she's going to feel uncomfortable. So maybe we just won't invite her, or maybe it's because we won't invite her, or we won't invite John because. I don't know how to act around a person that's gone through this kind of loss, and maybe it would be better to just have a good time, and so we don't have somebody there that's going to put a damper on.
So you're saying don't do that.
No,
include them. Go out.
Yeah, don't be afraid to include them. And then I say, you know, you don't have to be a problem solver. It's not about solving their problems or necessarily even healing their pain, but give them an opportunity. And a place to,
I have an interesting example of this. My mom was feeling down and out, and she was a single person, and we were having Thanksgiving at some church friends' home.
Mm-hmm.
So we already were kind of, I felt not imposing, but we were kind of already the orphans that were invited to this one gathering. Mm-hmm. And yet I was all bummed out about, what am I going to do about my mom? You know, and so I asked them if she could come. It was a big gathering of a bunch of strangers. Mm-hmm. And she came, mm-hmm. and so that kind of helped me. Mm-hmm. I was worried about my mom being alone and in her loneliness, mm-hmm. and she came and had a wonderful time, mm-hmm. was kind of the life of the party, yeah. And it just made everybody feel so much better. But it was kind of an unorthodox setting. Not a Christian. Mm-hmm. My mom was not a Christian, and we invited her to this very Christian thing, and she had a great time.
Yeah, and I'm sure that changed the dynamic for everybody there.
Yeah, but they loved it.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think we don't allow the opportunity for that to happen because we think, well, you know, it could turn out good, it could turn out bad, and then maybe it's just better for everybody.
We don't want to bother, but hey, this is the time of year to bother, by all means.
You know, just like that person that I'm thinking about inviting or contemplating that, they're going to have a whole emotional, when they come, they're going to have to make all kinds of adjustments, and, you know, I can make some adjustments too, and then just kind of let it be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Let it be what it's going to be. It's not necessarily going to be a perfect holiday, as you say here in one of your bullet points as well.
Yeah. I wonder what the perfect holiday is. We're still looking for
but
that.
But the point is to reach out and not isolate, not be let your world become small, but to reach out and make it bigger.
And you don't have to hover. You don't have to be a caretaker over this person, you know.
But include them.
Include them. Mm-hmm. Don't it's just don't avoid.
You don't have to don't solve it. You don't have to solve problems. Don't have to solve their problems.
I would say words can be awkward in a situation like that. I feel that I've got to say something. I know that the person's gone through this loss, and I feel that I have to say something, but I don't know what to say. Words can be awkward, but how about, you know, I think if I've been in situations like that, and I really didn't want somebody to come up and feel that they had to talk about my pain and what I've been through, because I don't want to think about it maybe either, but a hug, a hand on the shoulder, can a lot of times be a lot better than words. So if you're in that situation, we're going to invite, I just don't know what to say. You may not have
don't
to say anything.
Just,
you know, give a hug.
Just that you invited them. Just that you invited them and included them. I think that says a huge, huge thing. Well, getting through loss here this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, if people have had some loss, they're going through some holiday blues, they need some help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, my phone number is 425-778-6169. And I can be emailed through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
All your podcasts are available there as well. All the previous broadcasts, this broadcast will be there as well. BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff. The Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.